Hello and welcome back to another episode of Online with USU. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Dan.
And today we are talking about, are online programs more challenging?
And this is going to be a big kind of open discussion because there's a lot of things that go into this. There's no real simple answer here. In fact, you know, TLDR, yes and no, right?
Yes, it's about as hard as you want them to be.
Mm-hmm. So some of the things that make things more challenging are, I would say, first off, expectations, because whatever your expectation is, that's what's going to determine whether it's hard or not, right? So going into something expecting it to be easy, whether it's easy or not, I mean, if it's anything but easy, it's gonna feel hard because your expectation was off, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are some of the common expectations with online classes?
I would say a lot of expectations are there's less work, which I guess depending on the type of content that the professor is teaching, there could be less work in terms of like busy work. But I mean, you're still going to be doing the same amount of work as if you were on an in-person class, for example.
Yeah. We've talked about this before, but the every credit that a class is, you can expect 3 hours a week of work, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of those hours per credit a week for an in-person class would be going to class.
Yeah. Right?
But an online class, that's made up through the studying or going through the materials that the professor provides, whether it's audio, video, or text.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may seem like you're not doing as many varied activities, but you're doing some of those activities more than you would otherwise.
Yeah, and I feel like people have that the idea that it's less work because you can kind of go through it a little faster. You're not sitting in a class going at the pace of the class. You can go through material at your pace, which if you're a super fast learner, if you pick up stuff fast, you can breeze through that what would be the course hour, and then you have the additional what would be homework hours, which are outside of classes.
The expectation is that you're not being slowed down by the professor, by the class, but that's still the amount of work. And if it so happens that for whatever reason you're going slower than that class, then that can, of course, then feel like it's more difficult than an in-person class.
Yeah, I've just been thinking about I have two online classes that I'm thinking about that I took during my undergrad. One of them was a history class, and I love history. It was an upper division history class. It was like 4,600 something. And I remember when I took the class, I was like, oh, I love history. This will be a breeze.
Who was the professor? I have to ask.
I don't remember. This was 5 years ago at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's almost six. It's been a while.
I was a history major, so I know most. I know the reputations, at least, of most of the professors.
Yeah, no, this was my second year at USU, okay. So it's been like 6 years. Anyways, but I was like, oh, this is going to be breeze. And then I was so wrong. Because whoever the professor was, they did not have any assignments due until the very end of the course.
Okay, so they didn't actually have things due throughout the course.
If I remember correctly, it was all like truly self-paced. As long as it's done by the end of the semester, you're fine. So of course, I procrastinated.
as we are wont to do.
Yes, but I probably would have been okay had there not been three books that you had to read, technically mm-hmm. outside of the typical lectures, whatever.
No, this was like 4,600 and you only had three?
Yeah. I think some of the books were kind of long, though, if I remember.
Well, I don't doubt that they're long, but having taken a couple of 4,000 level history classes, yeah, there were lots and lots and lots and lots of books.
Yes. So, going into that class, I was like, oh, this is going to be so easy because I love history. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at history. It's something that just I can pick up on. I don't have to study, and like memorizing dates is not a problem for me. Anyways. So, yeah, I went with those expectations, and I severely underestimated what exactly I was getting myself into.
Yeah, as I said, as a history major, I can tell you the expectation, the reality, you had your expectation, which I was going to be the reality for for non-history majors is that I only had to memorize two dates ever, but I had to know sequences of events, or at least where things placed in the greater scheme of things, the relationships between stuff, and there was lots and lots and lots of reading.
Yeah.
That's a history class. Lots of reading and lots of writing.
Yeah, it didn't help that a lot was going on at that time anyways.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is just overwhelming. So I did end up, I think I missed the drop deadline anyways. I talked about this in another podcast coming up, but it was a bad story time. Yeah.
Confessions of former students.
Yeah. Look forward to that. It comes out finals week. It was a fun time. Anyways, so yeah, I had that class. And then my last semester, I had an online course. And it was the easiest thing ever. I think I had two assignments due each week, but they didn't take very long. So I think it obviously has a lot to do with the professor and how they want their course. Because some professors, I think they do just put in what would be the class material, and they don't put any additional assignments.
They don't flush out. They don't try to compensate for that time that's not spent in class anymore, type of thing. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, kind of. So, but it was a breeze. And at that point, I had taken a few more online classes, so I was a little more aware of what was involved with an online class. And so my expectations were adjusted. But so either it was a breeze because it was, or it was because I was more prepared for an online class. I don't know, but
it could very well be both.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of expected. College in general is expected that as you are further along in college, the classes will get more difficult. But by the time you're taking those classes, your ability as a student should be better too. In fact, the fact that this was like your second year that you took this 46 level history class, 4600 level,
yeah.
Like that alone is like, as an advisor, I'd be like, why are you in a 4600 level history class in your second year?
I think it was one of the depth courses.
Yeah, I mean, those aren't really taken as a junior or a senior. So.
And I was like, no, I just want to get these over with. Get me out of here.
Yeah, I've heard stories about some of the history faculty. Those are what I've heard referred to as a hard C.
Yes, I did, for the record, retake that class in person, and I got an A in it. So I would like to point that out.
Oh, good. And of course, repeating grades replaces them on your transcript, or at least on the GPA calculation. So if you do have a bad class, you can retake it, and do damage control, as I call it.
Yes,
yeah. Overwrite the GPA.
But I think that brings up another interesting point: is you should be taking classes that are appropriate for your level.
Yes, that's very true. And with a lot of online classes, where there's a lot of flexibility with those, it is possible that a student could get into a class that is above what is expected.
Like me.
Yeah. And not to say that students should never register for those sorts of classes, or that you shouldn't reach beyond your means to challenge yourself, but there's a reason why those classes are listed as a 4600 level. You know, the reasons for the 1000, 2000, 3000, 4000, and 5000 level undergraduate classes are there. And I always explain to students that the higher the number, the more specific the class. And the more specific the class, the more that's demanded, the more detail that's demanded. And that, of course, equates to exactness, correctness, accuracy, and work, just flat out work.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to when we talked with Sarah Tulane about working with your advisor. That's what they're there for. I probably would not have registered for that class if I had been taking advantage of my advisor at that time.
Yeah, as I said, I advised for 10 years, and that story makes me hurt a little bit.
I'm so sorry.
You're fine. It's my personal issues I'm dealing with. Some things to keep in mind when considering online classes that may make them appear easier is that flexibility. We always talk about the flexibility with online, and how you can do it at any time of the day, you know, any location, that sort of thing. The thing is, you still have to do it. And I think a lot of students latch onto the idea that, you know, oh, well, I can listen to these lectures while I'm commuting, or I can do them over breakfast and stuff like that. And the problem with that is that when it comes to multitasking, you can only have your attention in one place.
Yeah.
And so if you're trying to do two activities that both require even a modicum of your attention, your brain will be phasing back and forth, and you won't be focused on one particular thing. You won't be able to latch on. And so while, like, for instance, I enjoy listening to audiobooks while I do things, but there are certain audiobooks that if I really want to listen to an audiobook, I can't just have it playing while I do something else. I enjoy playing. One of the ways I de-stress is by playing video games, and I love having just something else playing in the background. It drives my wife nuts. She says I have to be constantly entertained. And it's true. I do. I've got to have something. I've got to have my mind has got to be engaged with something all the time. And so if I'm playing a video game that doesn't have my full attention, I'll be like, well, I could be listening to something too. But I find that I can't. I have to listen to something that I've either already listened to before or I really don't care that much about if I'm playing a game, because there are points where the game is going to grab my attention really, you know, really jarringly. I'm going to have to focus on something even for just a couple of seconds. And then I totally don't hear what was going on in the, you know, whatever else is playing. And that's a perfect example of how your attention can only be in one place. And so if you're trying to listen to a lecture while playing a video game, or if you've got a stressful commute that, you know, you have to keep on paying attention to your driving, you're not going to get everything. And so while that flexibility is there, you have to own when you can be flexible and when you can't be flexible, when you cannot be flexible. Because it may be that you have 9 hours a week that you could do this online class, but maybe two of those hours are when you have to have your attention somewhere else and you're hoping to just kind of do it passively. And you can't do online classes passively. This also comes into play that, you know, the professors post the material in the way, in a format that they have produced and that they feel is adequate. And it may not be a audio recording. It may be text, which may mean you have to read, and you can't read and drive at the same time.
Yeah, it's very true.
Those sorts of things. It's harder to read. It's harder to multitask while reading than it is while listening. So those are things to consider as well when it comes to, you know, do I have time for this online class? And, oh, it's easy. I can just fit this in and, you know, 15-minute breaks throughout the day type of thing.
Yeah, that reminds me of an earlier podcast we did where we talked, I think it's the habits of success. But, you know, you have to be able to make sure that you can dedicate specific times to an online course. It can't just be something you do when you have time.
It was the time management one, I think, that we did it.
Oh, was it time management?
Yeah, time management.
Yeah. We were talking about how, yes, there is this flexibility that you just talked about, but you also have to schedule a time and make it part of your routine, because otherwise it will be less effective and you're not going to get out as much potentially.
So yeah.
Something that I think we should also be considering is you have to be intentional with your learning.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just expect to breeze by. I feel like people, they feel like perhaps the professors aren't as invested in their careers, because for a long time, online was for people who didn't have a lot of time. And so, you know, a lot of major universities weren't necessarily investing in it.
Yeah,
with COVID, though, I mean, people have had to invest in it because it is a viable option.
Yeah. Well, online was seen as kind of the old correspondence course, or that's the old term for it. Independent study,
yeah,
is a more
that's
modern
how we started
term, more contemporary. Yeah, and they would, like, for instance, like, you'd get the material in the mail, and originally it'd be books, and then later there were CDs. Heck, we even got that picture in the basement of the LaserDisc. Remember?
Oh,
we've got a picture,
yes,
of a student loading a LaserDisc into a machine, doing a correspondence course or doing distance education.
I don't even think I was born when that picture was taken, to be honest.
I'll be honest, I've only seen 3 LaserDiscs in my life. So that was a brief fad. But, you know, it was the idea that you'd get the material, be left to it, submit everything, and then, you know, get a grade at the end of the semester type of thing. And so in some ways, that perception, both in the minds of students and certain professors, has persisted. But I think, like you said, with COVID, we've seen a lot of differences there. And that's also like the rise of Zoom classes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The live, interactive, synchronous classes, which are different from the traditional online, where it is asynchronous, meaning that you don't have to log in at a specific time, which the asynchronous classes provide maximum flexibility, again, because you don't have to worry about being somewhere at a specific time. But kind of like we've said, whether or not you need to be somewhere at a specific time in order to take part in class, you need to set apart a specific time to work on your class. This also helps with complacency. When it comes to online classes, it's easy to forget about them.
As we just saw with me.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if the class doesn't have anything, you know. You actually talked about this, that one of the things that makes online classes either more difficult or easier is the fact that you are in charge of your own organization. You don't have to worry about the professor's system of having everything set up. They set everything up, but then you ingest it, shall we say, in your own way. And you can choose how you do that. And if you're good at that, that can make it easier. But if that's the skill you're working on, that can make it harder.
Yes. You have to know your strengths and your weaknesses, and then go from there with building a plan.
Yeah. And keep in mind that, you know, people often talk about, you know, using your strengths and building your weaknesses. Feel free just to use your strengths. I mean, focus on, don't be like, I'm going to do this because this is going to help me develop this weakness. No, that's not what online classes
weaknesses
are for.
Working on weaknesses is not.
It's for.
Okay. When you're trying to do something that is really important, that is not the time to test out your weaknesses.
Yes.
That's the time to utilize all of your strengths and then rely on the strengths of others to make up for your weaknesses.
Yes. You will find weaknesses, and finding ways around them and combating them are important. But that's not the point. That doing these challenging tasks is not when you decide, okay, I'm going to sacrifice other things to make sure that I can succeed at these weaknesses. That's what hobbies are for, right?
Yes.
That's what free time is for, which is what you have after your degree, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Do we have a lot of free time, Dan?
I feel like I've got a decent amount now that I'm not building a house anymore. So
that's true.
But, you know, let's face it. We put our time into those things that we see that are important. There come times in our lives where the things that are important aren't necessary for survival, and we can choose what we see as important. And those are the times where we can say, you know what, I want to be better at public speaking, or I want to be better at organizing things, and you can sacrifice other things to be better at that. The great thing about weaknesses is they tend to crop up everywhere, and we tend to have to overcome them, and so we certainly find ways of doing so. Perfecting that weakness into a strength may be better off as a hobby, though, when we're past the point of fighting for survival.
Yes. Something else I think is a misconception about online programs is that professors are not as invested in their students' success, because it is something where they just kind of put the material up and then that's it. But professors are very invested in any student's success. With an online course, it is a little more difficult because you don't have that scheduled interaction of a physical class. But your professors are always available. They're always happy to help.
Yeah, I think we should put a caveat in here that every professor is different. And yes. Let's face it, some professors are better researchers than they are teachers and things like that.
Yes. I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, I think it was in communicating with professors.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be honest, there's a whole school of thought in regards to, a whole philosophy in regards to what make the best institutions, research institutions or non-research institutions, things like that. But let's face it, there are people in all walks of life that are better people persons than others. So,
yeah.
But I think, while that misconception is there, it tends to be more based on individual professors than on online versus on campus.
Yeah.
So the on campus, yes, it is easier for the professor and the student to interact, but that doesn't mean that the online class that the professor is disinterested in interacting with their students. They're not teaching online because they don't want to interact with students. They're teaching online because they want to be able to reach students that they couldn't previously.
Most professors who are on USU online teachers are actually on campus as well. So, like you said, they're just trying to reach people who maybe would not have had a chance to pursue online education otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And we did a focus group several years ago about online and stuff like that. And we met with administrators, staff, students, and faculty. And so we had a room full of online professors, and all of them expressed interest in wanting to connect with their students. All of them also expressed that it is a lot much harder, especially if students aren't willing to reach out. I mean, let's face it, how many emails do you have in your inbox right now that you haven't read? And I'm talking to the students out there that are listening. You know?
I was going to say, me? I only have like 7, actually.
But how many emails do you have from the university that you have not read, that you just saw it was from some office or something like that? We're like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, all students have them. Don't try to confess that you don't. Maybe you are one of those that, you know, read every single email, but, you know, if a professor reaches out, it's always good to reach back. You know, not just when you need help.
They do genuinely care.
Yeah. Although they do ask for 72 hours before you ask them if they saw your email in the first place.
Yes, right? That's a good etiquette rule.
That's just the same as, you know, going up to somebody at an event, asking them a question, and then coming back 15 minutes later and asking them if they have an answer for you yet.
Yeah.
that's the email equivalent. So, with the recent events and such like that, it seems like I am hearing less and less that people think that online classes are inherently easier. But that certainly was a perception for a while. And it's certainly a valid question when considering an online program. You know, is this going to be easier or harder than an on-campus one? And when it comes to the programs in general, so we've talked about a lot about classes, but, you know, if you're thinking about doing your entire program online, if you're thinking about coming back to school, doing your entire program online here at Utah State, it's the same classes taught by the same professors as our on-campus ones. And so, you know, it's really on an individual basis that decision or that perception is obtained. But I'm happy to say that, you know, that's our goal, is to try to make things as fair as possible.
I don't know if we've really determined if online courses and programs are easier or harder, but I think it's safe to say that really depends largely on kind of, you know, your effort to make it work for you. Because it can be hard depending on your strengths and weaknesses.
Your expectations.
Yeah.
The individual professors, the individual course material, and your level as a student.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not an easy question to answer.
Yeah, but, you know, going back to our Stephen Covey 7 Habits podcast and other podcasts that we've mentioned in here, you can make the online experience work for you and have it and be successful in an online course or program.
It can even be enjoyable in moments.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed some of my online courses, and I think I would be okay doing an online program now that I have adjusted expectations from that first online course my second year of school.
I think it's fun. People talk about online classes being very different, and they are. But I actually, during my master's program, which was all done online, I actually was able to meet up with a student in one of my classes. And come to find out, he worked across the street from me, and he lived 4 blocks away from me in the same town. We worked in one town, lived in another town. We ended up hiring him in our office for a while, and we became really good friends, and we met in our online program. So yeah. It's
online does not necessarily mean you will not ever meet people or interact with people.
Yeah. And also that, the experience of online is going to be a very similar experience to on campus, in terms of what you can expect for working, interaction type things. They're just different.
We'd love for you to weigh in with your thoughts on what your experience has been like with online courses. We're on Twitter. We do check it. And we're also on the internets. You can email us. But we'll see you again next week.